Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for, I'm coming. I thank you for everything that you're doing in our midst. I thank you for the great and precious gifts that Steve and Marianne Levine are. Thank you for the privilege of sitting under their teaching and their years of experience, Lord. We thank you that nobody gets to leave here the same as when they came back, as when they came in, Lord, but they will leave transformed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So who's coming up first? Steve is? All right. So today is part four of our five-part Seer class. We are privileged to have our guests back with us who joined us earlier for our drumming circle as we drummed along with those in Israel who are drumming at all of the gates. And today they were supposed to be drumming at the Golden Gate while we were drumming with them in the Spirit. And so, Steve, now that you've just sat down, without further ado, Mr. Steve Levine.
Okay. I'm used to pastors when they or prophets when they start talking to not stop quickly, so I sat down. So how are you all doing? You look great. You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to talk about the angelic today, but and I'm not going to ask who did their homework because, quite frankly, I can't remember what it was. So it wouldn't be fair, right? But what did you all see when you came into the room? Okay, so I'll tell you what I saw, and then you can just enjoy it, okay? As we've been having these meetings, I've been seeing fire in the room, usually on the walls, and last week, let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just appreciate your love for us and your desire for us to see, and that you want to reveal so much to us. Holy Spirit, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you brought the kingdom and that the kingdom abides in us, that the kingdom has come, that the King himself, and there is no kingdom without you, Jesus, is in us. And so if the King is in us, then the kingdom is in us as well. And so kingdom of God, just come in a greater manifestation, in a greater way. And Holy Spirit, I just ask you to increase your presence and to come. More of your presence, Holy Spirit, just increase. More, God, just increase your presence. Holy Spirit, we just want more of you, more of you to ignite us and to set us on fire. Let your fire come. Let it just increase in us. More, God. More of your presence, Jesus. Just increase. More, Jesus. Holy Spirit, just more. We just want you in a greater way. We are so thankful for how you brought us along so far. And you've done so much in us. And you've released so much to us. But we just want more. Holy Spirit, we want more of your presence. We want more of your presence manifest in our lives. So I just ask you to increase right now. We just take more. We're very, very thankful for what you've given to us so far. And what you have given to us so far is enough to get us to where we are now, but it is not enough to take us to where we want to be. So I just ask you to bring more now. More of your presence, God, let it come. Break through our regular way of thinking about things so that we can think about things the way that you do. So just increase. Holy Spirit, more of your presence, let it come. More, Jesus. More of you, God. Just increase. Father, I just ask you to give all of us an anointing for hunger. That you would just anoint us with hunger, God, so that every minute of the day we are craving for more of Jesus, more intimacy, more of your presence, God. Let it come. We just welcome you. We just desire more of you. Give us a greater appetite for you. A greater appetite. Let it increase. Make us so that we are desperate for your presence in a greater way. Make us desperate for your presence in a greater way. Make us desperate for your presence in a greater way. Make us desperate for your presence in a greater way. More, God, just increase. More. More of you. Take us deeper, take us higher, take us wider into your presence. More of your fire, let it come. More, God. We just break off weariness in Jesus' name. Just break off weariness in Jesus' name. Just increase your presence, Holy Spirit. Thank you, but we want more. More of you, God. More of your presence. Let it come. Let it come. Let your wind blow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Okay, so that wasn't so bad, was it? But we want more, don't we? We want more of his presence. You know, this isn't where I was planning on going, but it's like lately I've been just hungry for, you know, more revelation, more understanding, more experiences with him because... And I've had some really good ones, and I'm thankful for all of them, and it was enough to get me to where I was then and now, but something else has to break through. There's something in my thinking that just needs to change, and only Jesus can do that. And he does that by revelation, where, you know, you're reading the scriptures, and then all of a sudden you get it, and then you apply it to your life, and then your life changes, and it's really awesome. And then you get to that place where you just got to have more. Where you just have to have more of his presence, more of his fire, and more experiences that draw you even deeper into him. And I think that's one of the things that that I've really liked in what God has taught me about the angelic over the last, I don't know, 8 years. But getting back to what I was saying before, when I came into the room before the prophetic meeting that was this morning and the drum circle and all that happened after that, I came in and I looked and I saw fire on the walls, which I saw last week, and I told you all about that, or 2 weeks ago. And then last week I saw, it was like being under a waterfall and it was coming from up there, you see it? Coming down on me, and when I looked into it, I saw the face of Jesus. Well, this morning when I came in here, I saw that same fire on the walls, and I saw that waterfall, only this time it was spread all over the room, and this was all just going on, and people were coming in and whatnot. And, oh, I'm sorry, James. So I just kept watching to see what else, you know, what else was going on, to see his face or see whatever. And I was asking Jesus, what are you showing me? And then there was something about the combination of that fire that was burning so hot and the water that was coming off the top of the walls up in the ceiling that was starting to create a whirlwind in the middle of the room. And as I saw that whirlwind going on, I saw, individuals that were in the room being taken up in that whirlwind. And, you know, whirlwinds are really cool. I know that they're dangerous and people lose their lives and all that. But putting that aside for a moment, I love them because when a whirlwind goes through, it changes the landscape forever. It changes everything. It changes the way people think about things. And so when I saw this whirlwind going on, it reminded me of an event that took place in Trinidad a while back, where Jesus took me into a visitation, and I think I've talked about that a little at another time, but in this visitation was this whirlwind, and I saw all these eyes going around and around and around as I had grabbed onto the eyes of Jesus. And as I was thinking about that, and I was watching this whirlwind here in this room, I knew that those individuals that were getting caught up into that whirlwind were getting brought up into their own destiny in God, and that He was bringing them to a new place and to a kind of landscape that was different than what they were used to. And when you start walking in that different landscape, and when I say that, I'm talking about revelation. You walk into a revelation that you never knew before, a way of living and a way of seeing things. Like this class, for example. I've had people come to the class who, they came up to me on the very first meeting and said, I can't see, I never have seen, I'm never going to see, and that's just kind of the way it is, but I'm here to listen to what you have to say. And by the end of the, you know, we've had the class now for four or five times, they've come up to me and say, you know, I just saw this amazing vision, and there was the angelic, and there were, you know, thrones in heaven, and I saw all these people, and they were doing this, and the river of God was flowing. And that's just the way, that's what happens when you get a revelation. When you suddenly find out, oh, I can see because it's in the scriptures, He can see, and He, you know, didn't come out of seminary to minister here, He doesn't pastor a big church or anything like that, He's just normal Joe, and He can do that, so. And it's for everybody, so I should be able to also. You start realizing that He puts His pants on the same way I put my pants on. Well, He doesn't put a dress on, but anyways. You start to see that if any regular guy can do this, and it's in the scriptures, then there's no reason why I can't too. So we started talking about breaking off teaching or examples that kind of didn't lend themselves to us all seeing. So now I'm going to talk a little bit about, well, let me read out of Hebrews. Am I bouncing around too much? Is it okay so far? Okay. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be my son." And again, when He brings the firstborn into the world, He says, "Let all God's angels worship Him." That's important. You know that? That's important, that the angels worship Him. So if you find yourself in a place where the angel is receiving, an angel shows up to you and he is receiving your worship, that's over. That has to stop right away, okay? Because angels don't receive worship from us, okay? It's important. It's really important. Okay. Of the angels, He says, He makes His angels winds and His ministers flames of fire. I love that verse. Because if He makes us flames of fire, guess who's blowing on us to make us hotter? I like that. Okay. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe. You will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will have no end. And to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? So the angelic has been sent to help us and to minister with us. And my experience has been that, and this is something that I've just kind of been thinking through lately, and that's during the last 3 or 4 years, that it's like a team. The angelic has been sent. They minister to us. And yet at the same time, we partner with them in the work that God is wanting to do in our lives, but most more importantly, in the landscape around us that is changing. But as we minister, it's like the Air Force and the Army have strategies that they work together in. But I want to just share some stories about the angelic, my own experiences with them. We used to have a home group in our house in Manassas over on Lake Manassas Boulevard. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Because he's been there and he's worked on our house and blessed us. And anyway, we had a home group in our that was meeting, and one day, in this home group's meeting at, we start, I think, about 8 o'clock or 7:30 or something like that. We usually go to 10:30 or midnight. And so I'm sitting in my chair, and, folks are kind of praying, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. And in the spirit, I see this bus pull up in front of the house, a yellow bus, like school bus. And school bus, the doors open, and I begin to see the angelic, these angels, filing out of the bus and walking along the side of our house and walking over into the backyard where they set up, they set up camp. And while that was all taking place, while the angelic was coming out of the bus, somebody else in the prayer group said, oh, and they have suitcases. Which is neat that, I'm just sharing a vision and they're seeing it while I'm talking about it. And she's seeing the same angels that I'm seeing, and she starts describing them back to me. So they go to the back of the house and they set up camp there, and they were there for the whole time that we lived in that house. And from time to time, they'd be going and some would be coming back. And I think it was mostly because of that activity that I started really pursuing God to have a better understanding of, how does all this work? Because I really want to know. I mean, we would go out there, Mary Ann and I went out there one time where they were and had communion, and Mary Ann didn't see them, if I remember correctly, but you felt their presence. And I saw them, and I'd shared this in another meeting that we were doing, and somebody said to me, what do angels do? And quite frankly, the only answer I had for them at the time was angel stuff. They just do angel stuff. Because I really didn't have a full understanding, not that I do now, because I still don't. I'm still trying to understand more and more what they do. But but that kind of got me looking more into it, even though the first angel I had seen was just before I had met Jesus, and specifically when I had met him and started reading the scriptures kind of daily all the time. That's all I did, was just read the scriptures. And I had an angel that would show up in my room on occasion, but I really kind of didn't get it. And that was more, there's a lot of fear because I just didn't know. But that really is something that I've learned to break off, because a lot of times when people talk about, an angel showed up and I was afraid and I fell immediately on my face and, I didn't know what to do and shaking all over and stuff like that. Those examples are not, there's not very many of those in the scriptures. There's more than 300 examples in the scriptures of the angelic. There's a lot of it. But most of the time they show up and engage in conversations with the people that are there at the time. explaining to them, you know, they come to bring blessing, Manoah and his wife, Samson's parents. You know, angel shows up, they have a conversation with the wife, and she tells the husband, and he says, you know, kind of nonchalantly, if he shows up, gun, let me know, I'd like to come over and find out more about what's going on. And I bring that up because when the angels show up, it isn't always a fearful situation. I'm not saying that it can't be, but it's not always like that. I had a vision one time where I came into a, Jesus had put me into this room, and in this room were, well, I couldn't see the end of it, but let's just say, for argument's sake, a couple of hundred architect's tables all across this room, all in nice rows. And the angelic, there were angels sitting at each one of those architect's tables. And as I began to walk around, some of them were drawing visions. Some of them were writing prophetic words and things like that. And every once in a while, one of them would raise its hand. And there's another angel, and there were angels that were sitting in chairs all around the room. You know, I love talking about this stuff because I know I'm just breaking through things in your thinking. And that's why I do this. So anyway, because I can see it on your faces. So all along around the room, there were chairs, and there were angels that were sitting on all those chairs. And one of the angels at one of the architect's table would raise his hand. Angel from the side would come running up, and they'd roll up the scroll, and he'd take off, coming to one of you or some other believer in the world, and maybe for other reasons too, and release that word, release that vision. And that's just what was going on in that room. And it was all about the angelic. That's what they were doing at that time. And so, you know, I thought, well, that's pretty cool. And the thing that was interesting about it is we went to a separate meeting, and one of our friends, Deborah, Dr. Jenks, was sharing a vision that she had. The same room, the same angels doing the same things. Okay. More of your presence, God, let it come. Okay, also still while, another story I want to share with you, while still living in that house in Manassas, one day I came home from work. I think I was working for the post office then. And I get to the door, and fear fell on me. And, you know, and that bothered me a lot because I have always considered my house to be a place of peace, a place where Jesus abides and where we fulfill the things that he tells us and we grow and fall deeper in love with him. But as soon as I got the door and I was opening it, this fear just fell on me. And so I started doing what we all would do, and, you know, I rebuke you, devil. You know, we go through those kinds of things to try to bring, you know, we command peace to come and fear to leave, and nothing was working. And so I made my way into the house to find the source of this demonic activity so I could get rid of it for good. And I get up into our bedroom, and as soon as I get up into our bedroom, this angelic presence came into the room that was so fearful. And I asked God, what is that? And he said, quite cavalier, oh, you've never met one of my dread angels. And this is important because it's good to know when we're at work bringing forth the kingdom, who's on your side. And I could bring in the story of the prophet's servant who's fearful because of the armies that are about to consume them. And the prophet opens his eyes so that he can see actually what is going on around him. And now he becomes, as a result of that, becomes confident in what God is doing, that God is able to save. When you know that there are dread angels in God's arsenal, that can take out whole nations.
Come on.
That can take out whole nations. Did they not do that in Egypt? Have they not done that in battles over and over and over again? When you know that that angelic group is on your side, it's like having a big brother. It's like having a bunch of big brothers that, you know, all of a sudden that fear level decreases when you know that they're on your side. And so when the fear not angels, you know, the ones that they have to say fear not because everybody's afraid, when those guys show up, you can have total confidence that they are on your side and that they've come to do battle in your behalf, and they're asking you if you want to tag along and take advantage of the spoils.
Let's rock and roll.
And that's what the angelic is about. Okay. So angel shows up on your doorstep during worship, at your job. What do you do? What's that?
Worship with them.
Yeah, worship with them. Well, the example in the scriptures has been a conversation takes place.
What's that?
Why are you here? What are you doing? What's your name? A lot of times they come and they tell you in advance what their names are, but that's not a bad thing to find out either. And then when they tell you why they're there, you can partner with Jesus and with them in accomplishing the very thing that God has called and that He wants to do in that day. And that's why it's important to not be afraid of the angelic. Because if you go into most churches, and first of all, if you even are allowed to have a conversation about the angelic, their thinking is, oh yeah, fall on your face and worship. Fall on your face and be afraid. And that is not the example in Scripture. There's about, less than 500 examples of the angelic in the Scriptures. Scriptures on the angelic. Oh, I think it's a lot higher than that now that I think about it. But I made a list of... And we're not going to go through these, so don't worry. 34 scriptures where angels have conversations with the elect, us. That's a lot of support for a teaching that you can talk to the angelic. And because that is the example of scriptures about the angelic. So, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, no, I'm going to wait on that. Okay. We'll do that another time. Okay. For those of you that were here earlier, you saw Chris. Chris is about this tall. One day we were doing, he was doing worship at the gate when we were in D.C. And I saw this angel that was standing with him. So I went up to that angel and I said, "Who are you?" And you'd have to know Chris to appreciate the fact that that angel said, "My name is the Hammer." You know, my name is the Hammer. So, Marianne, you want to come up? Okay. I had another example. You know, the angelic really showed up a lot at the house of Manassas. And one particular incident back up in our bedroom, I heard weeping in our bedroom. And I went up into the bedroom, and there's this woman, female, on the floor weeping. And, you know, I asked Jesus, well, first of all, this is embarrassing because it's my house and it's my bedroom and I'm married, you know, all those things. But I began to see the glory of the Lord on this being. And I asked, "What and why are you here?" And this angel said that It was being sent to another nation, and it was weeping over that nation. And that really messed with my theology. That really messed with my theology. But being in a position for learning about the angelic, and that's what God was bringing me through at that time. And what's important, though, especially as such a prophetic group, and that is to be able to press through and let God teach us about that and not be afraid. Because in most churches, they don't want to talk about the angelic. But, you know, if you looked in the scriptures to see who does the angelic usually show up to, it's usually the prophetic. It is usually to the prophetic. And that's why it is so important to have an understanding and not be afraid to minister alongside with them. As it says in Hebrews, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? It's like a team sport where both the angelic and the people of God, us, minister together to accomplish the things that God wants to do in this nation. And like I said before, you know, when you know the angelic is standing behind you, it breaks off fear. Because you know that you're ministering within the confines of the kingdom. And that is what we want. We were praying earlier today that in desiring for more of the manifestation of the kingdom, well, that brings along with it not only healing and the prophetic and seeing and visions and dreams, but it includes the angelic as well. Am I saying that we should go follow them? I'm not saying that. Or worship. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is that we are in the place now as a church where what we've been doing so far was fine to get us to where we are, but it's not enough to take us to where we want to go. And in order for us to get to where we want to go, it takes a kind of participation in the kingdom that we have not experienced. You know, one of the first scriptures that we looked at in this class was, all of us want change. Are any of us satisfied with where we are right now? We're thankful, but are we satisfied? Is this enough? Can we just lay it down and be who we are for the rest of our lives until Jesus comes? We can't. That's why we're here. That's why we're here, because we are not satisfied. One of the first scriptures that we looked at, you know, if you want change, but anyway, one of the first scriptures we looked at here was the story of Cornelius. Gets visited by an angel. Peter has a visitation, has the sheep come down. He has a trance. All of these things happen to him, and the result of that is he makes it back to Cornelius. Now, Holy Spirit falls on all of them, and they speak in tongues. And what happens? The Gentile nations are now invited into the church to become part of the church, to become the church. These things bring change. The prophetic, trances, the angelic showing up, that is a description of our lifestyle. It may not be the one that we walk in regularly, but that is a description of what our lifestyle is to be like. Or we could talk about Philip. You know, he's ministering to the eunuch, and then he's off to another nation. Amen. You know, is that not for us? Of course it is. Of course it is. So how do we get from where we are now to there? Well, some of it comes through prayer where, God, you got to make me more desperate. He's talking about things that I have never done, and I've heard others have, but I have not done it. So how do I enter into that? How do I become more acquainted with you in a way that will allow me to participate with you anywhere, at any time, and in any way? How would you like to have an anointing where, while you were preaching or talking, even just having a regular conversation, that you went into a trance and anybody that touched you got healed?
I'll take that one.
Okay. Well, it's happened before. Mariah Eder, same thing. That was her ministry. That was before the Holy Spirit fell in Azusa Street. I mean, and she did not grow up in a way that she would be predisposed to do those things. That was not her upbringing. But God used her. And would he do that any less with any one of us? No. My daddy loves me. What does the scripture say? He loves to give me good gifts. I'd say that'd be a pretty cool gift to get from God. Anyway, I can tell that you guys love God. I'm just telling you things that you already knew, right? Yeah, you already knew all this. Yeah, okay. Well, we all want to do it, so the big question is, how do we enter in? Well, we start seeing and believing and responding. So he shows us a little more. We see that, we believe it, and so we respond. We see and we believe and we respond. It's like faith. It's spelled R-I-S-K. You just have to take the risk. And that's how faith grows. It grows from doing. Grows from doing. And so that's what God has called us to. Do you want to talk for a little bit? Okay.
You're right. Am I on? Yes. Okay. So to tag along with Stephen, you know, there are so many accounts of angels in the scripture. And the one that I've been meditating on in the last couple of weeks is when Abraham sent his servant out to find the bride for Isaac. And Abraham told his servant, "The Lord is sending an angel with you so you will have success." What, you know, that's help from the very throne of God. And that's the kind of helper, you know, it says in Hebrews, the end of chapter 1. Aren't they all messengers? What does it say? Are they not all ministering spirits set out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Well, that's us. So when we're praying, God, I need help from your very throne room, who is he going to send? He's going to send the angelic. And whether we sense them, feel them, see them, are aware of them in any way, let me think for just a second. It doesn't matter how you see them or perceive them. They're here, they're real, they're part of the kingdom. In two weeks ago, we talked about how the natural things speak of the invisible. That's what the scripture says. We talked about how Moses went up, met the Lord on the mountain. The Lord gave him a vision and told him what the tabernacle would look like. Then if you read in Hebrews 8, the writer of Hebrews says, and that was the blueprint that was given about a natural thing that's built from supernatural plans. That's what it says. And then we looked last 2 weeks ago about what does the throne room look like? And we looked at Revelation 4, Isaiah 6, Daniel 7. You can look in Ezekiel 1 as well for a description of what that throne room looks like. And that includes the angelic. Well, we're invited there to when we worship. So why is it that we wouldn't expect that when we join the worship that's going on around the throne, that we wouldn't experience angelic presence, right? So it's part of who we are as believers. And because there's been a lot of fear-based teaching, we have been taught to be afraid and that we shouldn't take risks. If we see an angel, we should ask what their name is and tell them, you know, get lost, you know, don't have a conversation with them. That is not the reason they're there. Usually it's to give a message. And if that angel comes to you and wants to have a relationship with you, guess what? That's probably not right, because they're there to give you a message and to obey the word of the Lord. They're not there to create a relationship where they come back and come back and come back. We're here to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. And he's the one who sends these helpers. And so if the angelic are meant to help us, they're going to help us to have relationship with him. And I just want to talk a little bit. Stephen talks a lot about having open-eyed visions of angels. I tend to see angels in dreams, and that's why I want to talk about that just briefly before we do an exercise to get us seeing. Usually I see angels in more of a dream state, And the one that I really like the best, I'm kind of awakening in the middle of the night, and I noticed that my dog is standing up in the room and looking in the corner. So I look, and I'm telling you, I don't know if I was dreaming or if I was awake. So it was kind of dream state, but I saw this really tall being in the corner of the room. And from about the, I couldn't see the face, but from the shoulders to the waist, it was like that bandana material, the red material like that. And then from the waist down was jeans. Well, I fell back to sleep or continued to sleep. And when I woke up in the morning, I said, Lord, what was that? And he, you know, when the Lord speaks, I can feel him smiling sometimes. And he said, well, don't I own the cattle on a thousand hills? That's one of those cowboy angels. Well, I had been praying for provision, so I knew that the cowboy angel was assigned to me that there's provision coming. And so I said, thank you, Lord. Another time, very recently, I had a dream, two dreams, but different days. One dream, I saw this woman's face, and I looked, and she was really beautiful. And as I continued to look, it was like she was glowing and just almost like holographic, just beautiful, beautiful. And I knew she was an angel in my dream. And I said, let's worship God together. And I grabbed her hands. And she said, my name's Dorothy. Dorothy means gift of God. So I'm still waiting to see what gift of God has come because of Dorothy's visit in my life. But I know that the Lord sent me help because I know what the scripture says. Lines up with the scripture. In the same week, I had another dream. And in this dream, there was a man in a room with me and some of my friends, and he had come up the stairs and he goes, this is where I'm supposed to be. And he's talking to us. And then, as I looked at him, I tried to do the same thing as Dorothy, grab his hands, but I don't know why I felt compelled to say, do you know my Lord Jesus? And he just looked at me, and I knew that I knew that I knew that he knew Jesus and that he had been standing at the throne, that he was angelic. Why is that important? Because there's discernment. Remember, as we do life and we experience God and we read the scripture, we exercise our senses so that we can discern between good and evil. That's what it says in Hebrews. We exercise our senses so we can discern between good and evil. That's how I knew that this was angelic being. So around his throne, I was just mentioning, there's worship going on around his throne. There's angelic around his throne. And that was the homework. I don't know if you had a chance to do it, to read Revelation chapter 4 or Isaiah chapter 6 and ask the Lord to open your eyes to see what the throne room's like, because it's a real place. What we're going to do to tie the two messages together, the one from 2 weeks ago and tonight, we're going to do a seer exercise to help activate our seeing gift. And Stephen's going to start passing them out. For those of us who weren't with us for Seeing Jesus, this exercise was designed by the same man, Jim Driscoll. And what he did is he was asking the Lord, how can I encourage and help people to grow in their seer gift? And so the Lord impressed upon him that scripture that I was saying, because, you know, it's Hebrews chapter 5. Let's see if I can read it here. Concerning him, this is a discussion about Melchizedek. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And that's where these exercises are based. And the idea is to grow in faith. Like Stephen mentioned, you see something, you respond, and then you measure the fruit and you use the scripture as your plumb line, right? And then you see again and you respond, and then you see your fruit and you measure it with what's in the scripture. And then also using Jeremiah 1:11 as a template. Remember, the Lord said to Jeremiah, "What do you see?" And Jeremiah said, "I see an almond branch." And then the Lord said, "You have seen rightly, and this is what it means." So by declaring the things that we see, we've taken a step of faith. And if you can ask the question, you deserve the answer. So you see something, you say, "Lord, what does that mean?" So anytime we're looking in the spirit, it's an invitation to have relationship with him, because he's not showing you something just so that you can go on your way. She's showing it to you because he's saying, "Hey, Tim, I love you, man. And here's what I'm showing you today. Ask me about it." So it's cultivating relationship. And that's why we want to see. And we know if we ask for a vision, he's not going to give us something that comes out of the pit of hell. You know, God is good. You know, Jesus said, if you ask your father for bread, he's not going to give you a rock. And if you ask him for a fish, he's not going to give you a snake. So if you ask him for a vision, he's going to give you what? A vision, right? So anyway, they're designed to help us see in the spirit. And what you look for is usually what you see. When Stephen tells you, "This is what I saw in the room," and as he describes it, you can see it. We have the scriptural example of Elisha and the servant, right? Open his eyes so that he can see those who are for us are more than those who are against us. So that's the scriptural basis. That's the plumb line. So what we're going to do now is take a few minutes, and we're going to look for rooms in heaven. What did Jesus say? "In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it was not so, I would not tell you." There are many rooms. There's the throne room I described to you. There's a heavenly tabernacle. We know, and within that tabernacle, there are rooms. And so we can see rooms in heaven, and there are rooms. So we're going to ask the Lord to show you a room in heaven, and you can describe what you see. You can look for furnishings, and you can describe what you're shown. Stephen told you about a vision he had of desks and scrolls and angels and destinies. And, you know, you can look at those pieces of furniture. You can look for doorways and windows in the room. Here's where we tie in the angelic. There might be someone working there. And so you might want to find out who that person is and what their role is. You can ask the Lord for the purpose and function of the room you're seeing, and describe your impressions of what you hear, and describe the purpose and function for any of those people that are working in the room. And if the room is not the throne room, ask the Lord where in relation to the throne room this room is. And we're going to do this because we're going to exercise our senses so we can learn to discern between good and evil. And we're going to grow in faith, and we're going to grow in our ability to see. And so I want everybody to just stand up for a minute. And the reason I'm doing that is because I see people kind of weary and maybe a little bit of unbelief. But you're going to see, because you're going to ask the Lord for a vision, and he's kind to give it. And so I believe that to speaking in tongues really stirs up the gifts within you. So let's do that for just a minute or two. And we'll speak in tongues, and then we'll get softer and softer. And then we'll listen and look. And the Lord's going to show you a room in heaven. Halamario sholo sono hore nene ketele shila sototo nemete. Halende de sholo sono hatale kendore shala sana harototo. Penaria kote da shila sana hatele. Pidaria shala sana horo nono kote nene shili soroho. Pinaria tiaro sholo sota ketanamate. Pira ketanene shila sara haretene. We worship you, Lord. Thank you for opening our eyes that we can see. Thank you, Lord, for releasing vision to us right now. Our heart's desire is that we be with you where you are. And you said that in your Father's house there are many rooms. So, Lord, I thank you that you're going to open our eyes right now as we ask. So as you're looking, look for the furnishings in the room, for doors and windows, anybody who's working there. And ask the Lord, thank you for this room. What am I doing here? And what are you showing me?
Okay. Sorry to take you out of what you're seeing. Would anybody like to tell us what you saw?
I saw a room that I would describe as the bridal chamber. You know, scripture talks about the bride that makes herself ready. And what I was seeing was the wedding dress and angels working to iron out the wrinkles of the wedding dress and others sewing on the adornments to the wedding dress. Then the bride herself, which would be the church, I saw angels ministering to her, pouring anointing oil over her. And then there was some angels in there worshiping, just playing instruments and just strumming and just singing very soft tunes.
Well, that's cool. I mean, that's way cool.
Yes.
There you go.
I appeared to be sitting on a step at the feet of Jesus in what appeared to be the throne room. And the floors were so shiny, I wasn't sure if I was looking at glass or if I was looking at marble, but it was very reflective, whatever it was.
That's awesome.
So he's been challenging me with trusting what I see in my imagination.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept going back, like I'd open my eyes and go back. And so, but it was it looked like a room that you would find in a English castle manor.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a one big long rectangle. It was done in classic English countryside. The wall on the left had all windows, like arched windows down the whole thing. And there was because you kept asking about furniture. Well, there was no furniture. It was all hardwood floors and there was chamber music playing. So I said, so what room is this? And he said, it's the dance room.
Oh, cool.
So I thought that was very cool.
That's great. So he's inviting you to dance, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
You did a great job today.
Okay.
Yes.
I walked into this room and I saw the color of it was a light colored blue. And I looked to the left and looked to the right and there were two boxes, two big boxes on each side of the door. And the boxes had a star on each side. And as I continue, you know, walking through this room, I saw a wall. And on this wall, it was painted like a tree. It looked like a tree painted on the wall, but the tree was gold. It was gold. And at the border of that room, the color was white. And there was also a window in the room. And I looked through the window and in this outside, there was like a lot of flowers, all different colors, you know, blue, yellow, green, just different color flowers. And then there was kids running through these flowers, and I asked the Lord about that, and he said that's the way he want us to be, you know.
Oh, that's great.
Like kids, you know, have the heart of kids, be carefree, be free, you know, and that type of thing. So that's what he said. Okay.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. I love you as a group. You know, you're just in it. Go ahead.
Well, what I saw, it looked like a laboratory. And I saw containers like freezers, but there were hearts and brains and livers and pancreases and just different body parts. And it wasn't in the throne room, but it was in the building. And when people make requests for their healing, he has what they need.
I think that's also for you, that when you pray for the sick, you know where to go, you know, to get their healing. And that's important. That's important. There's a room that Jesus has brought me to many, many times. And sometimes I go there on purpose because I need a specific thing. And in this room, there's all these scrolls up against one wall coming out this way, and there are literally thousands of them. And when I've asked Jesus to give me insight on something, I know that I can go to one of those, I can go to that room, grab that scroll, open it up, and there's a vision or a word inside there. So that place belongs to you. That is a place that God has set aside specifically for you, where the front door says, welcome.
And that's a room that's been described throughout history by healing evangelists. A place that they've seen in the spirit. It's been called a storehouse. So I think even more recently I heard Sean Bolts talk about it in the last recent years. But so yeah, real place. Real place is in heaven. Now just to blow y'all up, the room I saw was the entrance. I saw an opening, and it was all red, and I saw this dove fly out, and I knew it was a peaceful place, and I climbed up, and I realized I was climbing on, I hesitate to tell you, I was climbing on the tongue of the Lord, and I climbed into his mouth, and I asked him, why this room, and why is this a room, and he said, you know, you say that you've tasted and seen that I'm good. Well, I taste you and I say that you're good. And he said, come have a seat. And I sat down on his molars. And I said, okay, why am I sitting down on the molars? And he goes, you know, it's a place of understanding. You know, when you chew on something, you know that expression, I give you something to chew on, it's about understanding. So he gave me a seat of understanding in his mouth. And why his mouth? Because it's a place of proclamation. So you see, a room doesn't have to be the throne room or the, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be a traditional place. The Lord can show you those things. So now I know there's a room that looks like his mouth, and those are the things that I can access. And Stephen hasn't talked about this much, but these are real places. And we talked about that last week. Those are real places, and they're rooms in the spirit, that storehouse in heaven, the bridal chamber. You know, it's beautiful. These are the places that he's given us, and they're real places. So you don't have to say, well, that was just for now when Stephen and Marianne were doing this exercise. This is a place he's given you in the spirit. You know, you were in Revelation chapter 4 on the crystal sea, worshiping at his feet. That's beautiful. You see, these are real places, and they're places that are not meant to be ignored and to say, well, this was my imagination for today, or, you know, something for another time. I don't know. Here you go, Tim.
Amen. Informative. So as we say, as we move into our time of worship, that it'll never get easier than in the presence of God that falls during corporate worship. So don't stop doing this exercise, particularly if you didn't see anything. Keep pressing in to see something. Amen? As I mentioned, what the Lord's challenging me on is that I'll ask to see something, and there will be a projection in my mind's eye. And so now I have to ask the question, am I making that up? Or is that something from God, right? And I think he's intentionally stretching me. Are you going to, you know, accept by faith? You've asked, and I've given. Now you're going to believe. And so it's interesting. It's easier when the three-dimensional open vision that you have no control over splashes on the screen, and you're like, okay, I'm clearly not making that up. You know what I mean? But the daily interaction of, it's like that still small voice. Did he really say that to me? Is he really? Yeah, you know. Father God, I thank you for every good and perfect gift that comes from the Father of Lights. Every good and perfect gift that comes from a loving Father. Some of us didn't have a loving Father example on this earth, and we struggle with receiving your gifts. Lord, heal us so that we can receive every good and perfect gift that you give. You gave us the gift of seeing, the gift of showing, the gift of telling us. You said, do I not tell you what I'm going to do before I do it? And you have so many ways of telling us how you're going to do stuff. You want to be intricately involved in every detail of our life. You want to be intricately involved daily with showing us and talking to us and revealing to us and leading and guiding us into all truth. Thank you for breaking off of our minds the chains of the years and years of teaching and the years of television and the years of radio and the years of examples in churches that have tried to shut down the expression of your spirit in seeing and in hearing and in doing the things of the kingdom. Seal in our heart, like the seed that falls on good soil and sprouts up a tree that produces shelter and food for hundreds and thousands. Raise up in us the capacity to see and hear you on every level. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have